Okay, so I'm just going to give an update for 2008, looking at the pyrethroid resistance for Texas and also into Mexico. First, I'd just like to thank all our collaborators on the project. Without all these guys across the state, we wouldn't be able to get all of this data collected. So we really appreciate all of their help. But just a little background, although it looks like heliothines have slipped to number two, they've been one of our most important pests. They cause quite a bit of economic damage every season, and it's mostly bollworms these days, hardly any tobacco budworm, and they're usually responsible for anywhere from a quarter to a half a million acres lost in the United States alone, even after insecticide applications. So looking at a real important pest, and one of the most common methods for control has always been the use of pyrethroid insecticides. So across Texas, statewide since 2003, and across several other areas in the belt, we've been monitoring for resistance to pyrethroids, typically using cypermethrin. So this is kind of a picture of what we were monitoring in 2008. You can't see Mexico down there, but we had a sampling location there as well. Some quick methods: basically, we're using a wire cone trap baited with the sex pheromone. So we're bringing in the adult male moths and testing them in the laboratory for resistance. Using the adult vial test, so we're coating the 20 milliliter scintillation vials with different concentrations of cypermethrin dissolved in acetone, or just acetone alone as a control. And we produce all these vials in the toxicology lab there with our nifty little modified hot dog roller, and get a nice even coat of the insecticide on the inside of the vials and ship them out to everybody across the state to run these vials in their own area. So the collaborators do the trapping. They'll place one moth per each vial and look for mortality after 24 hours. And we're comparing all of these to our 2005 susceptible field population from Burleson County, and using Polo Plus for analysis. But just to kind of give you an idea, a lot of the monitoring programs in the other areas usually just use discriminating dosage. You know, 10 is thought to be the dose that kills all of the susceptibles and heterozygotes, and where only the resistant survive. And 3 to 5 is usually thought to be the dose between susceptibles and heterozygotes. Usually guys use 5 across other states. But for Texas, we've always done the full range of dosages just to kind of gauge the full population and where it's headed with resistance. So when you're looking across here, you've got concentration of cypermethrin across the bottom versus your percent mortality or your probits. And I'm going to start with Brazos County there by Texas A&M. You'll see a lot of graphs like this first one, but essentially the dark blue is the LC50 value and the light blue is the LC90, and the numbers are the actual resistance ratios. So what we're doing is comparing the samples back to the one on the far left, which is the Burleson County susceptible population. And also there's the Conga 1996, which was one of the populations sampled back in 96, just to give you some reference. But essentially, when you're looking at the resistance ratios, if I've got them in a different color there, that means they're significantly higher than the susceptible. But you know, once you get to a level of about 5, that's where we start to worry about problems with resistance. And then especially ratios of greater than 10, it really indicate you may have a resistance problem. So in 2008, for Burleson County, we only had that one population in July that was significantly different. I'm also going to show you the probit lines, and so these are the most resistant populations from each year over the past several years. And if you look at this Burleson County from 2008, it's actually significantly less resistant than we've seen over this all the previous seasons, so it's moving in the right direction. Going down with TX Lou in Hidalgo County, we also had one slightly significant resistance ratio, but again, the population was less resistant than we saw last season looking at it. Up in Hockley County with Kerry Ciders in the High Plains, the ones in green there were actually significantly less resistant, but we're more concerned with the LC50 ratio because it's more representative of the whole population. And in August 11th, we had one that's higher than we typically see. And that population was significantly different than the past years. But if you look, the other lines go further off to the right, indicating that they're surviving some of those more extreme rates. And typically this one and the other ones we've seen this year weren't surviving those really high rates that we've seen in the past years. Down in Nueces County with Roy Parker, we've typically seen pretty high levels of resistance there. And we see that again this year. If you look at the LC50 ratios, we get upwards of 6.7, 6.8. But traditionally, we've had levels of closer to 7 to 9 in the past year, so this is actually improved. And when you look at the probit line, it was significantly less resistant than the last several years also. You're not seeing that survivorship at the high rates. Uvalde County with Noel Troxclair, we've also been having more resistance. And again, this is our highest ratio we saw this season of 8.4. It was similar and not significantly different than the last couple seasons, but we didn't have any survivors at that 60 microgram rate like we have in the past years. Also, Williamson, R.G. Abramite, and Chris Sanson were helping run these. And if you look at the last sampling date, it was still pretty high resistance ratio, greater than 5. And this was pretty much because we had our one survivor at 60 micrograms. This is the only one we had in Texas this year. And that kind of shifted that line more that way. But it was statistically the same as last year. So I think that kind of pulled it that direction a little more. If you look down in Mexico, with Jesus Vargas down in Rio Bravo, the ratios were significantly different, a little less than 5, and that's typically what we've seen the last 2 years, and you can see the probit line looks almost identical, so it seems to be pretty stationary. Just real quick through some of the high plains areas, typically we always see real low levels of resistance there, and it was the same this season. In Hale County with Greg Kronholm, ratios were really low. Also with Ed Bynum, these are in Jones and Scurry County, the ratios were relatively low. And Rick Menzemeyer there with Tom Green in Reynolds County, the ratios were low again. So Ellis County, we actually had one survivor at 30 micrograms, but we had a lot of control mortality. So the statistics were bad on this one, and we didn't have a chance to run a second test, but in general, the overall population was pretty low levels of resistance. If you look, I'm sorry these are cutting off a little bit, but essentially there's also one more color on the far left. This is the highest concentration where survivorship was observed, and the purple 60 micrograms. So we only had that there in Williamson County this season, and we only had a couple counties where we survived 30 micrograms per vial. So this is a little improvement over the last couple of years. The picture on the right, the ones in red depict resistance ratios at the LC50 level that were greater than 5. And we only had that there in Williamson, Uvalde, and also in Nueces County this season. And just to kind of, you can't see the colors again, but this is the highest concentration where we had survivorship. And this is a trend from 2003 to 2008. And it stayed pretty similar across the last several seasons. When you look at the resistance ratios, when you're looking up toward the West Texas and the High Plains, we've still pretty much maintained those more susceptible populations, whereas we still have the higher resistance ratios kind of toward the south in the Williamson, Uvalde, Nueces area. But just to summarize it, Uvalde, Nueces, and Williamson County populations had our highest LC50 resistance ratios, with the highest being 8.4 in Uvalde County this year. Also, just looking at the likelihood ratio test for equality, there were significant differences with Burleson, Hidalgo, Hockley counties, and Tamaulipas, but the overall population levels were still pretty susceptible. Then when you look especially up towards West Texas, you know, in Ellis, Hale, Jones, Scurry, Tom Greens, and Reynolds County, we pretty much maintain the same susceptibility we've typically had over the last several years. Overall, we had fewer survivors at the high rates, which is encouraging. Those real extreme moths, we're not seeing near as many this year. And overall resistance levels for several counties were lower than we've seen over the past several years. And there's several reasons probably for this. You know, we had, like was shown just a minute ago, in general, just lower acres this year. And in not only cotton, but in corn and grain, sorghum. And due to a drought, so, you know, the insect pressure was lower this year than we typically see, which probably had something to do with it. Also, just as we increase in the BT acres, we're seeing fewer bollworm moths. And then one of our one of the things we've been looking at the last several years that we think has been causing the problem are using low rates of pyrethroids for several generations in grain sorghum. So we've been looking at that a lot in the Corpus Christi area. And you know, over the last few years, they've been using the high rates of pyrethroids. And like this year, there were a lot of fall armyworms in the sorghum. So they were spraying other chemistries like lanate to control those. And you see the biggest decrease in resistance that we've had so far in the Corpus Christi area. So all those things look like they're helping out quite a bit. Just real quick, I want to say that we're working on a real-time resistance monitoring website with the EPA. And we've been We've got a lot of the data loaded up to that. We're still not, we haven't launched it yet. We're still working out a few kinks with it, but the goal is starting this season, we're gonna be able to have real-time updates with all of the monitoring and be able to let everybody look at this and realize where we're starting to see resistance if it's occurring during the season. So we hope to keep everybody up to date with that and let you know the website and everything once it gets rolling. But with that, I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated and the Texas State Support Committee. And if we have time for questions, I can take a few questions.
We have about 2 minutes for questions.
Yes. For right now, it's going to be specific to Texas, and just for the monitoring program, we've kind of talked with IRAC a little bit, you know, and we hope to make it kind of a platform for some other projects and possibly some other stuff. You know, Penn State has their website with, you know, it's kind of a separate program with counting the moth numbers and everything, but there's certainly the potential to expand it out further than just Texas. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett.
Oh, I got the mic.